Good morning, church. I'm excited again to be speaking to you and sharing with you from the Word of God. We're continuing the series we started last week on the leading of the Spirit. Last week, we had some kind of introduction into the topic, and we looked at our text from Romans chapter 8, mainly verses 14 to 17, though we looked at some other verses of Scripture. Today, we'll be going further, and we'll proceed to the second part of this series, and it is titled How to Walk in the Leading of the Spirit. As we proceed, I want us to go back to our text from last week. We'll read it and then we'll move on. Romans 8 from verses 14 to 17. This morning again, I'm going to be reading the KJV version of the Bible. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So let us pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this opportunity again to listen to your word. We thank you for the power in your word. We thank you, O God, because just as your word describes, your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And we know, Lord, that there is nothing that is hidden in creation before you. And so, Lord, we subject ourselves to you, submit ourselves to the authority of your word, and we say, Lord, have your way in our hearts, have your way in our lives. Speak to us, convict, direct, and teach us your way, O God. We trust you, O God, that by the operation of your Spirit, everything that will be taught and discussed will be fully understood by your people. And not only that, O God, but Lord, we receive illumination and light within our hearts and direction on the steps to take on how to put these things in practice in our lives. We bless you and we give you glory. Hallelujah to your name, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us proceed. Last week, we clarified, I believe, that the leading of the Spirit is the privilege of every child of God. One of the things that I said was that the leading of the Spirit is a confirmation of our sonship. And that, you know, this leading of the Spirit is not just limited to a class of believers. It's not only for the super class of believers. It's not only for the pastors, the teachers, and the preachers, but it's for every single child of God. In fact, we went back into the Old Testament to see that God has always revealed himself to be a God who leads and guides his people. We saw that he guided the Israelites in Isaiah 63 verses 11 to 14. And we looked at some other Old Testament scriptures that communicate promises of divine guidance. If you remember, we read Isaiah 48 verse 17. Then we also read Psalm 25 verses 4 to 5 and verses 8 to 9. But there are some other verses of scripture in the Old Testament that I just want us to probably look at again, and then we press on this morning. If we read again, I go back to Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48, I'm going to read from verse 17. It says, "Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." I'll read it again. "Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." One passage that we didn't read last week, and I did not quote at all, is Psalm 32. And I'll just want to read that passage of scripture for us and then proceed. Psalm 32 from verse 8. God speaking says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Verse 8 again, Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I think it's important to emphasize, perhaps a little more, and just impress upon our hearts that these verses of scripture are really describing an experience of God leading people himself. Personal leadership and guidance are not by proxy. Let me illustrate. Sometime, I think in either 2016 or 2017, I was sent to Accra, Ghana by my late boss to a partner clinic on an official business. The clinic has a laboratory, and at that time, we were sending some of our biological samples to Accra for testing. But there about around that time, we were experiencing some challenges in the whole arrangement. So I was asked to go to Accra and sort out a few issues. Of course, it was a one-day trip, and before the trip, the medical director of the clinic in Accra had been informed in an email that I was going to come there, and he had replied that he would be on hand to receive me. I remember that when I arrived in the clinic at Accra, I informed the front desk person that I had come from Lagos and I was there to see their MD. And they informed me that the MD had told them that he was expecting me. So I was subsequently ushered into his office and we had a great discussion, great time. He then called someone, one of his staff, to show me around the clinic premises. But I was also supposed to visit their laboratory, which was in a different location in town. And so we went as an entourage. They had a Hilux van in which he had his business manager and some other staff. But he asked me to come into his own personal car. It was a different vehicle, one sleek vehicle. I don't even remember what name it was. And he drove me there himself. Subsequently, after we saw the lab and we had some more discussion, he asked one of his staff again to take me out for lunch. And then they dropped me off back at the airport in the Hilux. Yeah. You see, the whole experience, being shown around, taken for lunch, dropped back at the airport, everything was coming from him. Yeah, he's the medical director, was one that directed everybody to do all of that. But some aspects of that experience were from him personally. Some of the experience were not by proxy. You know, some it was by proxy. He asked someone to lead me, he asked someone to show me around. But some of it he did personally. And it was a good experience to see the MD of that kind of seriously important clinic in Ghana driving me around by himself. Anyway, see, it's the promises in Isaiah 48 and Psalm 32 describe a personal leading and guidance by God. Not something that God does by proxy, where he himself, remember Psalm 32 and verse 8, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, mine eye. And so he wasn't going to send somebody to do it. He was going to do it himself. But do you know what? The description in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, is also the same description of personal guidance, not by proxy. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, the Bible says, and the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. If you find a Septuagint version of the Bible, the Septuagint is the Greek version of the Old Testament scripture. You know, Old Testament scripture were written in Hebrew, really. A large portion of it. But the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament portion of the Bible uses the same word for brought that is used in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 for lead. The description is a personal, intimate association. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, remember that passage of scripture where Paul had said something to the effect, "Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles?" That word again is associated with the word in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It's describing the same sort of experience, a personal, intimate leading that is based on relationship, not by proxy. Generally, I'm surprised when Christians seek for prophets or look for prophets to help them seek the face of God. In fact, now you pay people, many people pay so that they can just hear what the Lord is saying. We need to understand that God's new way of relating with us in the New Testament is basically not that way. Hebrews chapter 8, describing the new covenant, says something very, very interesting and instructive in this regard. God said, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." They shall be to me a people. Verse 11. "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." All shall know me from the least to the greatest. Of course, God wasn't saying that nobody would need to be taught, nobody would need to have a teacher, nobody would need to have a pastor. After all, I'm teaching, after all, I'm preaching. But he was saying that every single person would have a personal relationship with me. A direct, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Ezekiel 36 from verse 26. Again, God made a promise. Talked about a new heart, a new spirit. He will take away the stony heart and give a heart of flesh. Verse 27. He said to them, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." We must recognize it and understand that God doesn't want to lead us by proxy. In fact, in the new covenant, he leads us by himself, because he has called us into an intimate personal relationship with us. The other thing that I must emphasize as a form of reminder is that the leading of the Spirit is constant and continuous. I remember at the end of service, a dear brother sent me a message on WhatsApp after the service on Sunday. I mentioned that he had always thought the leading of the Spirit, or thought about the leading of the Spirit, as a per transaction leading, meaning, you know, when you are in a crisis, when you are in a situation, God would lead you. You see, while it is true that God leads us in different specific instances, the actual meaning of the expression in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 is more than just episodic guidance. For some of us that may have heard it before, the word that is used actually connotes being born or carried, like when a woman backs a child or when she's carrying a pregnancy. If you use the image of a woman carrying a pregnancy, then you recognize that a pregnant woman will always carry her baby all through the pregnancy, and not only at certain times during the pregnancy. All throughout the pregnancy, she's carrying that baby. In the same way, scripture says that the Holy Spirit is constantly bearing us, constantly leading us. The issue really is actually whether we will follow his leading or not. Whether we will follow his leading or not. See, it's like a radio or TV channel. Back when we were younger, we had some analog antenna. And I still remember we'd have to turn the rod in different directions, and you know, someone will be outside, the other person will be inside the house, or other people will be inside and say, "No, turn it to the left." "Okay, turn it a bit, turn it there, turn it right, turn it left." And we used to be very excited, you know, way back in the Lorraine, to be able to, you know, get signals of stations outside the Lorraine. We used to be very excited. Subsequently, then there were satellite dishes. Those big satellite dishes, you know. And even those satellite dishes, as big as they were, you still needed to turn them in particular directions. And then you needed to have a receiver to be able to receive the signals from certain stations. But now, we have these small dishes with decoders. DSTV, and all the others, right? Star Times. But you see, whether you have an antenna or not, whether the antenna is properly tuned or not, whether you have a decoder or not, the station is broadcasting. The issue is whether you have the right antenna to receive what the station is broadcasting. It's something like that. The other thing that we must now press on as we proceed today is that the context of the leading of the Spirit in Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 17 is of an internal inward guidance. I'll say it again, of an internal inward guidance. Let's go back to the text so that I can just quickly explain what I mean. Romans chapter 8 from verse 18. No, from verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Let me stop there. In this sequence of verses, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, lets us know that communication between us and God is one of the key works of God's Spirit in us. And that communication actually goes in both directions. I mean, us to God and then God to us. In verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So in there, we are the ones communicating to God. Romans 8 and verse 15. We are the ones communicating to God. We are the ones expressing ourselves and saying, Abba, Father. And even that is as we are enabled and energized by the Spirit. You see, by the Spirit, we can communicate with God at the most basic level. We cry to Him, Abba, Father, and He hears from us. He hears those terms of endearment that come from us to Him because we have received the Spirit of adoption. Again, the reception of the Spirit is not something we engineered by ourselves. It's something that the Lord did for us. He gave us the spirit of sonship. He gave us the spirit of adoption. And then we cry, Abba, Father. So, us to Him. But as we get to verse 16, the communication now is going the other way. Not from us to God, but from God to us. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so God communicates from His Spirit to our spirit that we are His children. His Spirit bears witness, keeps communicating to us over and over that we belong to His family now that we are in Christ. The Spirit confirms to us this truth on some deep unspoken level. There is an inward witness from the Spirit of God communicated to our spirit. There's just this deep, unshakable witness we have deep in our beings that we belong to the Lord. Some people describe it as a strong inner knowing. I have sometimes said it this way, that I know that I know that I know that I know that I belong to God. It's a deep conviction that is communicated from the Spirit of God to our spirit. And that is the context of the leading of the Spirit that Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 is talking about. Something internal. Something internal, deep within the believer. It is true that God in His power can use several forms of communication to guide us, but we must never forget that there is a constant work of an inward guidance by the Holy Spirit. I read this phrase somewhere recently, somewhere on social media. The person said, the Holy Spirit is multilingual, meaning that he can speak in many ways. It is true. But don't forget that the reality of the believer is that God will guide us personally in an internal, personal, and intimate way. God can guide us by circumstances or events. You know, sometimes we are really so stubborn or insensitive to the Lord that he has to orchestrate events and circumstances to bring us to the place that he wants us to be at. Think of someone like Jonah. Jonah had actually heard from the Lord, but he was stubborn, so he ran in the other direction. But God used the circumstances and the events eventually to get him to the place where he needed him to be. I read the story of a believer who had wanted to travel by a particular bus, but she missed that bus. The next bus was like 4 hours later, so she had to reluctantly get on that bus, and she found the available seat. But you see, the seat she got put her right beside someone who really needed to hear the gospel. And so she had no choice. She had to preach to the man and lead him to Christ. I believe strongly that was God orchestrating things to ensure that she was there at the place where God needed her to be, preaching the gospel to a man that really needed the gospel. Sometimes, some closed doors in our lives are God's direct orchestration to lead us away from the wrong path. God can lead us by manifestation of the Spirit. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a message in tongues, with interpretation, a prophecy from someone else. In fact, the occurrence in Acts chapter 13, I know I mentioned it last week, in Acts chapter 13, if you remember, Acts chapter 13, where he says that there were some in the church that were at Antioch sending prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius of Cyrene. Verse 2, and it says, and as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul, and Saul, sorry, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, Acts chapter 13, what we've just read, sounds to me somewhat like a manifestation of the Spirit. I still remember the experience I had many years back, and this concerns the founding pastor of this church. I've given this example before during one of our midweek services. Many years ago, at one camp meeting that we had while we were still students in the University of Ibadan, we had a similar experience like this Acts 13 experience, where a word came forth concerning him and how he was going to be used by the Lord, you know, in different places, more like an apostolic mission. And it wasn't until many years after that we began to see the manifestation of these things. And now he has ministered in different parts of the world and continues to carry out his apostolic work in the ministry. It's true, God can lead us by visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. Remember Joel chapter 2 verse 28? It's the same verse that is quoted in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 when Peter was addressing the people. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Ananias had a vision in Acts chapter 9. Peter had a vision in Acts chapter 10. Paul had, was it a vision or a dream? Paul had something in Acts chapter 16. You know, I know some people say that God-given dreams, the true God-given dreams, are actually visions you should have seen during the day, but that God couldn't get your attention, and so he waited till you were asleep and then he gave you the vision, but you didn't see it as a dream. I don't know how true that is from the word of God. But I do know that we see it in scripture that God can lead us by visions and dreams. However, it is important that I must say something particularly now about dreams, especially. I must say this now. Most dreams are not revelations from God. I'll say that again. Most dreams are not revelations from God. Some of these so-called dreams are just products of deceit, actually. If you read Jeremiah chapter 23 from about verse 25, this was what the Lord said and revealed to the prophet Jeremiah. It says, I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets? That's what the Lord said, not me. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy of the delusions of their minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. That is what God revealed to prophet Jeremiah. So you hear a lot of people, just to substantiate some of the things they say, they have to conjure up something. Perhaps they are like Eliphaz. You remember Eliphaz? Eliphaz was one of Job's friends. You know, some people just have to conjure up something spectacular, something mysterious, a mysterious experience to validate whatever they are going to say. And Eliphaz was like that. In Job chapter 4 and verse 12, Eliphaz said this. He says, now a thing was secretly brought to me. And mine ear received a little thereof. Ah, deep. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying. But you know what? Eliphaz went on to say nonsense. He wasn't the one that made any sense in his submission to Job. Meaning, sometimes people still come up with a mysterious experience to validate what they are trying to say, and yet they really don't have the true revelation from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, a dream comes through much activity. Or as the KJV would say, dreams come in a multitude of business. You see, what this implies is that normal dreams are natural outgrowths of the stimuli that we receive in our waking hours. Dreams come many times as a result of our own thoughts. What we've heard others say, from the things we've read, or from the things we've watched, movies, videos. You see, I remember when I was very, very well, when I was very young, I never used to be scared. In fact, the very, very first thing that made me scared was when I went to Sunday school and they said that, you know, Samuel was called by the Lord. And so I was scared of being alone. Maybe I'll just hear the voice of the Lord saying to me, Yinga. But when I started getting scared of going to bed, of going to sleep, was when I watched a movie. It was a Yoruba play, and there was a spirit chasing people. We need to understand that our subconscious mind keeps on working even while we're asleep, and it weaves our thoughts into our dreams. This is the reason why we need to put a check on what we allow into our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on these things. So all these methods that I've said, by which God can lead us and guide us, yes, it is true. God can lead us through those ways. Well, we must recognize that they ought to still be secondary to the internal work of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? Paul was given a prophecy by Agabus in the book of Acts. And yet, Paul did not follow that prophecy. Well, actually, that prophecy was not given to guide or lead Paul, because Paul already had a witness of the Holy Spirit concerning what he was supposed to do. And so when Agabus gave that prophecy and he said, oh, whoever owns this belt is going to be led like this, and person is going to die and all of that, and the church started crying and weeping, Paul said, no, don't weep and cry, because the Holy Spirit has witnessed something to me. I remember one time, this was when I was in final year, I think. We went to some church in Ibadan, and they were having a prophetic session, and prophets were giving prophecies. To be sincere, I don't remember what this man prophesied, you know, and said to me. But what I remember is that what he was saying did not agree. I didn't have an internal connection by the spirit of what he was saying. And so I didn't even remember. I didn't even keep it in my head. I didn't keep it in my heart. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, I think we should read that one. Acts 16, you know. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, yeah, from verse 7. No, from verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they were forbidden at that point. Then verse 7. And they were come to Mysia. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. How these directions came, Scripture does not exactly tell us how. But what we know is that the Holy Spirit didn't allow them. Verse 8. And they were passing by Mysia, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Now verse 9. Acts 16 and verse 9. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So, some people say that this probably was a dream. That a vision appearing to Paul in the night, that the usage of this phrase probably means a dream. Whether a dream or a vision, right? Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach unto them. Now this is my point. The usage of these terms, assuredly gathering, meaning that they concluded and they were united and knit together in heart and recognized that God was leading them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Meaning that they didn't just say, oh, we had a vision. No. They still needed to agree that this was what the Lord was leading them to do. And so, every external method in which the Lord is speaking to you, or by which the Lord can speak to you, should still be subjected to the internal work of the Holy Spirit. Part of what the Lord does internally is that he prompts desires and he impresses certain things on our minds. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what the KJV says. The New Living Translation of that verse says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You know, And this internal leading of the Holy Spirit, people can describe it in different ways. Some people use the term a check in the spirit. Possibly what Paul and his companions experienced in Acts chapter 16. Remember? And this is when it's like the Holy Spirit puts up a stop sign. You want to take it, you want to take a decision, you want to make a step. And you sense that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, no, don't go in this direction. Don't do this. Acts 16 that we read, it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word. They wanted to go into Bithynia. The Holy Spirit did not permit them. Some people use the terms quickening, that they were quickened. Like when something suddenly jumps at you, the Holy Spirit suddenly makes something jump at you. All of these things are the internal work of the Holy Spirit. Some people use the term inward intuition. And all of these things are internal, intimate, personal work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so in the next 10 minutes, how do we recognize, how do we learn to recognize this internal work of the Holy Spirit? I have 3 points and then we'll close. Number one, the place to start is by reading the Word of God in Scriptures and communing with God in prayer. We need to understand that the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we have described, as an inward work of the Holy Spirit, is not far removed from the written Word of God. And the truth of the matter is this, that it's only those who have constantly tuned themselves to the guidance of the Word who are more likely to recognize the inward promptings of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Really, it's those who have tuned themselves to the guidance of the Word of God that are more likely to recognize the inward prompting and inward work of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit would only lead us within the limits of the Word. You know, I've seen people come up with very strange stuff. I remember when I was in secondary school, yeah? I knew people who would come up with something strange. And you say, why are we doing this? Say, well, God told me. And sometimes some of those statements, you know, God told me statements, actually, some of them run antithetical to the direction of Scripture. But people justify them by saying, well, God told me. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit will only lead us within the confines of the Word of God. And so it's as we have fellowship with the Word, as we study the Word, and as we fill our hearts with the Word and an intimacy in prayer, they condition us. You know, just like we're tuning our antennas. Remember. And so we're able to be more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 15. If I read from verse 14, he says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. But how does the Holy Ghost give us this witness in Hebrews 10 and verse 15? This witness in Hebrews 10 and verse 15 is not talking about that inward witness. He says, for after that he had said before, and then he now quotes a scripture. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Meaning the witness of the Spirit that Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15 is talking about is actually talking about the revelation of the Word of God. So the Spirit witnesses or testifies to us through the Word. Jude and verse 20. Says, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, I'm convinced that sharpening of our inner sensitivity is one of the things included as we are being built up and edifying ourselves in the place of prayer. And as we commune with the Lord, and as we speak to Him, and as we commune with Him in prayer, and as we fellowship with Him in the Word, we start to understand more and more, and start to discern more and more of His inner workings in us. Number two, we recognize this internal work of His leading and guidance by practice. That's a principle we must always recognize, by practice. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 helps us understand that we learn to discern between what is good and what is evil by practice, by exercising our senses, so that we can judge when God is speaking and when God isn't speaking. It is true that you may make mistakes, but that is why we practice. As we grow naturally, we make mistakes. And we may make mistakes as we learn the things of the Spirit, but we must practice. And over time, you start to recognize. You know, I remember my late boss. Initially, when these things used to happen, she used to say things like, I think something told me, something is telling me, something is telling me. But you know, as she grew in the faith, I remember she was sharing with me, and she was like, now she recognizes that those things are not just something is telling me. She recognized that it was the Holy Spirit inspiring her. So we must endeavor to recognize when the Spirit is leading us, and then we must follow the leading. And as we make this practice, it becomes like second nature. You know when the Holy Spirit is giving you a check. You know when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something specifically. And finally, the third thing I'm going to share as we close is the place of inner peace. The place of inner peace. It is true that everyone has a voice, and there are so many voices, you know, demanding our attention. But you know, the only voice that counts is the voice of the Spirit. And the voice of the Spirit is peace. Peace is the umpire. Peace is the umpire. Who is an umpire? An umpire is someone in a game or in a sport like tennis who sits up there and decides and settles with every finality, any questions or any contentions. In the same way, peace should be the umpire in our hearts that would settle every question with finality that may arise in our minds. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's what this verse of scripture is saying. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Meaning, let peace be the umpire. Let peace decide. Let peace decide. Are you trying to take a decision and then truly in your heart you just don't have peace about it? There's something that's just not quite right. Then you need to take a pause and recognize that there's something wrong there. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. It says, for you shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. You'll be led forth with peace. A confirmation of how that God leads us in the place of peace. And of course, this peace I'm talking about, I'm not talking of everything seeming right on the outside. I'm saying when God gives you tranquility, calmness, even when things may be going wrong on the outside. We'll continue next week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this time. And we thank you for the great things that we've explored in your word. I thank you, O God, for by your spirit you confirm these things in the hearts of your people. And thank you, mighty God, for the blessedness we'll experience as we put these things to practice, as we follow your word, and as we follow your teaching. We thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will make good practice of following after the leading of the Spirit. We bless you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Amen.